What up, Nashville? 3HL is on the air, 104.5 The Zone. Happy Tuesday afternoon. We are out and about. Buffalo Wild Wings, that's where we are on Tuesdays during the football season. Today we're in Hendersonville. Buffalo Wild Wings in Hendersonville. And, hey, Hendersonville's showing up.
Man, they did show up, didn't
hey,
they?
Hey, give yourselves a hand for being here. Look at Roger Saffold is here, and he's laughing at
y'all. Listen, man, we got OGs in the building. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Hey! Wild Wings don't call. If you're good and happy to be in the building, make some noise. It's a little bit better.
Roger.
Like we lost on some Sunday.
Titans offensive lineman Roger Saffold joins us now on 3HL. Roger, what's up, man?
How are you? I said we lost or something.
No, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, man. Socially distanced, so it's a little weird, but
it is weird. Right. We had to jump through some hoops to even do these things. So thanks for being over there.
No problem at all.
Hey, how's the shoulder? First off, I know you were in and out of the game on Sunday, which had to be frustrating because you want to be out there with the guys.
Right, absolutely. You know, definitely want to be out with those guys, game in, game out. It was unfortunate, but it's something I actually dealt with before.
Okay.
So it's not new to me. Which leads me to be really confident about this week.
All right.
Outside of confidence, too, though, how much coaching did you turn into? You know, it's everything but putting a headset on as far as, you know what I mean, leading the guys and everything and the people that took your spot right there to fill in. What was that like?
Man, I couldn't be prouder of those guys. I mean, it's so many things can happen, so many distractions. And, you know, lose a Taylor early, of course, is just right off the bat is just a little bit hard. But then, you know, for me going down with that injury – was really tough. So seeing Aaron Brewer go out there, seeing Tyson Rilla go out there and do the job, I was in the mix the entire time. It's crazy. You know, with those type of injuries, it's not going to hurt me to walk. It's not going to hurt me to run. So I'm jumping around. I'm still really deep in the game and even prepared to go in if we had an emergency. So, you know, it's just the ebb and flow of the game and just happy that those guys were able to step up.
Did you know that the last time the Seahawks lost a home opener was 2008? So they had won 12 in a row, and I think the NFL record was 13 if they would have gotten it done. The weird thing about that, though, is, and we talked about it last week, in 2008 they lost to the 49ers 33-30 in overtime.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird?
It's unbelievable.
How loud was it in Seattle?
Oh, man. You know, they haven't been able to have a home game in a couple years, so, I mean, it was extremely loud. I mean, almost – the smallest things they were cheering for, you know, and it's just, it's great to see, man. You love being in that type of environment. You know, the one thing that I hated for some of those young guys last year is they didn't get some of the environments that, you know, that you just love to play in as a professional athlete. So they got a chance to get that. And then, you know, everybody's looking at me because I was the only person that's been there. You know, when it started getting kind of loud, and I was just like, yeah, it gives you chills, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fun, man.
You're the OG OG.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the funny thing. You were telling us this before we started the show. It was loud. But if you got a false start, they almost acted like the crowd got you. Like they won.
They got louder. Yeah. They put all false starts on the 12th man. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you messed up in the huddle or if, you know, the count was wrong or if we were running out of time. No. They did it the whole time.
And need their props, man.
Yeah. Roger Saffold with us. Roger, coming in, obviously a lot of talk of new offensive coordinator, you know, adding Julio Jones, new weapon, all of that. And you know, I've said all summer, I'm like, I bet it's going to take time to kind of find that chemistry. Where is this offense when we talk chemistry? Where are you guys right now?
We're just a step in the right direction. That's what I really take it as. You know, I don't want to say that we arrived because we haven't. There's still a lot of things that we got to correct. Love to see the way that Julio played on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a breath of fresh air. Love that we're getting a run game going, and love to see the process that it takes to get there. You know, grinding out those 1 and 2 yard and 3 yard runs start to open up in the second half. And, you know, I think that we take a lot of pride in that. But as the offense as a whole, we knew that we looked glamorous on paper. We had, you know, the nice crispy white, you know, little stars on it and everything glitter and everything. But it's all going to come down to the grind, which is, you know, it's not pretty, it's ugly. And it's character defining, and our character really won that game Sunday.
Can we ask this? Like, I know you guys watch Monday's film day, right? So, what was the talk on the Julio touchdown that was called back within the team? I get it's a rule, but I think it's dumb. I don't.
Honestly, I think that what it really was is one, if you follow our Twitter account at all, you know it's a bunch of baloney.
Right.
But two, I just didn't think that there was enough to overturn it. I mean, you would need a microscope to see on your television to see if there was a blade of grass in between his heel and out of bounds. But, you know, it's just the way that it goes. I can't believe that they found enough to overturn that. I mean,
agreed.
Yeah, that was crazy. But
maybe Julio wears white shoes.
Yes, the red shoes. Yeah, so the green. Yeah. Yeah. Little standout thing. But hey, so how do you regroup from that though? Because y'all could have been down, could have been up, but we're down. You go back to it and you get back to the drawing board and you still say, man, we're knocking at the door. And they're gonna open it. If they don't, we're gonna kick it in. You come back out second half and it's a totally different game as far as just controlling it. I mean from the beginning of it.
I think that we just starting to understand that, you know, we have to continue to fall in love with the process.
Yeah.
Because you look at our efficiency in the red zone, it was not the same as it's been in the past.
Yep.
I mean, we've been very efficient in the red zone, scoring touchdowns instead of settling for field goals. You know, we score touchdowns, and then now the game has completely changed. We don't have to go into overtime, and we get to run our true 4-minute offense, which we really enjoy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just once again, just getting back to the process, understanding that this is a step in the right direction, but we're not there yet,
right,
and continuing to improve. Daily improvement, daily excellence.
And the potential from those young guys, man, not being able to, like you said, everybody turned to you, especially walking in that stadium. And outside of just walking in that stadium, you got young guys that's really getting time in the NFL now. They don't know how to respond to it. But how good was that to see the potential of those young guys be able to step up into the moments, especially on offense?
I think that you only get those moments when you deal with a lot of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
We've dealt with a lot of adversity in training camp. We went down to Tampa, you know, guys getting injured. Mm-hmm. Guys getting sick, you know, we had to deal with all these different problems. Our offensive line probably had me and maybe Quisenberry were the only people that were starters from last year that were actually playing during camp. So, you know, going through that, I think that it helps in the season when you get in those environments and your back's against the wall. But can you do it when your back's not against the wall?
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're looking for.
There you go.
You talk about that, you know, obviously it – big part of that is, okay, you have each other's backs. So we played Vrabe's post-game speech in the locker room yesterday and then Derrick Henry after that. And I just thought it was so telling and such a great look into the culture of this team and this franchise right now. And you've been at different franchises. Now you're part here. What have you seen from that standpoint, just the culture of where you guys are?
I mean, you know, going from L.A. and coming here, it was a bit different just from how we practice, how we prepare, you know, kind of the identity of the team. And, you know, through coming here, I found out that this is a blue-collar mentality out here. I mean, everything is about the effort that you put out. In fact, that's the first thing that you're graded on above all else, above your technique, your assignment. It's always effort first. So, you know, the team continually does that. So, you see that all the time when it comes down to guys running downfield, guys picking up guys off the ground. I mean, if you look at the rest of the game with Julio, when he wasn't getting the ball, he was making great blocks. He had a great block on the first Henry touchdown.
I mean, so
that's
was
what
AJ.
You want to see as your players. Yeah, that's what you want to see as your players. I mean, yeah, with AJ, the second touchdown, the way that he was able to fill in and take the safety pressure and give Derek a lane, I mean, there was no way for that corner to be right. Safety takes a bad angle. The house.
Roger Saffold with us on 3HL. There was a number floating around out there. I don't know if you know it, but the Seahawks had won 52 consecutive games when they led by 14 or more in the fourth quarter. That is over. Y'all broke through
y'all
on that.
Ended it.
So congratulations on getting that dub and headed in the right direction. We'll talk more about the game coming up with the Colts. We'll dive into what makes you, and we'll do all that. Roger Saffold, Titans offensive lineman with us at Buffalo Wild Wings in Hendersonville. We'll be right back on 104.5 The Zone. Care, 3HL, 104.5 The Zone. Britt Norton, Don Davenport, Ron Slay. Ramon Foster jumps into the mix.
Yes.
I had to make a call or two, and now I'm back.
And Roger Saffold.
I didn't want to take Rod's thunder, man. This is his city, man.
Listen.
I'm not going to lie. I'd rather hear you two talk ball instead of any of us.
You want to hear something crazy? Rod, for the longest, for about 2-3 years, I've heard my barber say, yeah, man, Raj this. And I'm thinking he's talking about some guy around the city that we both supposed to know. I'm like, Raj, what are you talking about? And he was like, yeah, I was just went and cut Raj. I'm like, okay. And then it didn't dawn on me, you're Raj.
For the longest, and
shout out to him for not disposing like his clients, but I was just like, oh, that's the Raj we're talking about. I had no idea, man. For over 2+ years, and I'm like,
You know what's funny, though? He did dispose of you to me.
Did he?
So I knew it was you. But that's it's really so funny.
He
man.
Just
it's
name
so
dropped Raj, though, and I was just like, it can be a few Rogers out here. I didn't know it was the Sappho.
Yeah, Roger Sappho with us here on 3HL. We were talking with Ramon earlier. He said he could see that 60-yard touchdown run coming. And you said when he fell forward for a 4-yard run in the second half.
The start of the third quarter, when he went right, and there was like a run that was 5 yards, and he fell forward. I was like, here it goes. You know when it's about to happen.
Oh, yeah, 100%. When I the first thing that I thought of is, all right, we got this safety pressure coming. Once I saw AJ take that, I said, uh-oh.
Oh.
And then the last thing I remember hearing is, he gone.
And
that's it. He gone. He was out of there.
Do you think defensive backs, when they come up with an angle on a long play with Henry and they're coming up on him, have these visions of those memes that go viral with the stiff arm rolling through their head?
I'm sure that they do. But as you can see, you know, trying to catch him from the tailpipe, you're not going to be able to do that either.
That's what I said earlier. And Rod, you know this to be true. I'm going to say something. I said it earlier before at the end of the last segment. I was like, shout out to his little league coach, middle school, high school, and college. Because a guy his size, what is a coach usually going to do to him?
Oh, he's going to put him on the line.
I told y'all.
He did say that. Yep.
Put him on the line every single time.
It's just like a dude who's 6'4 in high school. What position he going to play, Ron?
Center.
Like, that man ain't no center.
Exactly.
Put a ball in his hand,
man.
Yeah,
let that man get loose.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I hate that,
Did you play any other position outside of line growing up?
No, just D-line. Just D-line. I played both sides my senior year of high school.
Oh, you did?
My dad wouldn't let me play another position, another sport, until I got my scholarship. Once I got my college scholarship, he was like, do whatever the hell you want.
What you want to do? Yeah. Money made, baby.
Did you play another sport after that?
Yeah. I did basketball, and I did track. I threw the discus. And I was actually pretty good at discus. I wish I would have spent some more time with that.
For real?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I hated it. You know, because our coach used to just put the field guys, like, up at the top of the hill. And like, all right, y'all figure it out.
Like your kickers or something?
You know, like straight up. Like it was 2004, so I'm dating myself a little bit. I'm 35, which ain't that old, but he handed me a VHS. All right, y'all got to watch this tape real quick. Get your technique off of this. I'll see you on track day. I hate it. And then the field events, too, you know it. They're the beginning of the track meet. So I go there, throw shot put and disc, and I'm sitting around for 2.5-3 hours. Don't ever ask my kids to do track.
I think he's on the other side.
Yeah, you had good coaching, though.
Yeah, I had a one-on-one coach, and he made everything really easy for me. I remember I was struggling with the full spin in discus, and then he's like, you know what, just go up there and sling it. So I didn't spin. I just straight from the finishing point, and I slung that thing and won the whole meet. Some people just get it, man.
Yeah.
What did the other guys think? Like the guys that are, perfecting their spin and all of this stuff.
It was a bunch of expletives.
Yeah. See, that would have been me. I bought it. He don't cheat at anything, man. Man, ain't did no spin or nothing, man. Like, what is this? Man, elbow in, like it's supposed to be out. Like, come on, dog.
Yeah.
That ain't fair. You know what I mean?
Well, have you, like, growing up, were you always the bigger kid? Were you always more athletic? Was that kind of you growing up?
Yeah, I was always, like, the taller, skinnier guy, but I was athletic. My dad was like, hey, listen, man, I think that you can play the line because I'm a big kid,
right?
Obviously. Yeah. Next thing you know, it just kind of took over. But it was hard to gain weight at first.
Yeah.
So what was recruiting like for you in high school? You mentioned getting the scholarship, and then that was freedom, right?
Yes.
What was recruiting like for you?
So I got my scholarship my junior year to Indiana, and then my senior year – when I started getting all these visits.
Yeah.
But, like, they were pissing my teachers off. So they were coming to class, taking me out of class. And Mr. Donovan wasn't having that. You know? So, I mean, it was really fun. I mean, it was a great experience, you know, getting to see all those schools coming. And then, you know, finally having a day to pick which school you were going to commit to. I mean, it was overall a great experience, man. I really enjoyed it.
Indiana's known as a basketball school. What was?
Oh, yeah, they came to basketball practice. They were watching.
So, was there an issue there at all? Like, what was the vibe
was
on campus
Mike Davis
for the football?
My O-line coach was also my recruiting coach.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, man, me and him, our relationship was great, and I knew that's just where I was going to be successful at. I knew that's also where I was going to be able to get a chance to play right away.
Hey, they're football school now. Watch out.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. How hard was it to put up with that on campus, knowing that, you know, everybody's going to be, what is it, Assembly Hall?
Because Slay had the opposite.
I had the opposite. That's what I was getting to. Yeah. Like, I went to Tennessee, and I went there when they were coming fresh off the national championship. So it's like, y'all just ain't going to come to our games or nothing. I know what to do. So I took that as motivation. We finna flip it. You know what I mean?
Our problem never was having fans in the stand. It was these tailgating parties were too early and too long. You look outside the stadium, it was a red sea of people. It's like, just come inside.
Yeah.
You know, take a time out and just sit and watch the second quarter at least.
They out there. They just ain't in there.
Yeah.
My husband graduated from there. I think that's still the case, by the way.
It really is. It really is.
Roger Saffel with us on 3HL at Buffalo Wild Wings in Hendersonville. We'll be at Gallatin next week on Tuesday. So what was the coolest venue you played in college? Like what stood out to you? You were like, damn, this is pretty awesome.
Man. I think it was Ohio State, man.
Really?
I mean, you know, growing up as an Ohio boy and always wanting to play there, finally getting a chance to play. And I was a freshman, you know what I mean? That was a crazy experience. It was still 100,000+ people, you know, past, you know, Maurice Claret days and all that stuff. So it was a hell of an experience. And I mean, I was so nervous. You know what I'm saying? I'm 18 years old. This guy, the three technique and the five tech, both of them were 23 years old. I'm like, man, I'm 18, you know, fresh.
Jeez.
And so was my left guard. He was 18 as well. So we were over here trying to block these twists. And it was two grown men playing with their little brothers, man. It was tough.
We're going to have a good time out here.
Ramon, what about you?
Playing
at Tennessee, road environment stood out to you?
Florida?
Yeah.
Easily. Florida and LSU, because they're right up on you.
Yeah.
Like, everything that you want to hear about what you don't want to hear about yourself, they're going to tell you. And you know exactly what I mean. Look at Rob's breakdown right there.
Man, Florida.
Some fan bases legit do their homework, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they know everything about you.
Yeah.
But is that and the fact that if you're losing, the thing about the position we play, linemen can't really say much. Like, if you lose and you get off with 100 yards, you can still chirp, but I still got off on y'all. Linemen, like, I got five pancakes. Who saw it, sir? Nobody saw it.
Pre-game? You know?
I saw that false start, though.
Yeah, I saw you feel me?
Yeah.
And now they're starting that you can't do that. I would hate the crowds now. I would hate the crowds now.
Roger, how amazing is Derrick Henry, man? I mean, just from your perspective, blocking for that guy. Number one, I would try real hard to get out of the way, get out of the hole. But how amazing is that dude?
He's just a freight train, man. And he's got amazing work ethic. And the Titans have figured out how to keep him healthy and keep him fresh. And that mixture, man, is really hard to beat. Extremely hard. And I mean, the one thing I also like is, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, you always see footwork videos from the little guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always see the footwork. This man's over here showing you videos of him squatting, push pressing, curling. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I like to see. Because, I mean, just for myself as well, man, I love to work out. Like, that's something that you love to do. So seeing the same thing get out of your back, it make you want to work harder for him.
What's the talk in the summer when those workout videos start trickling out? Like,
oh, there's no question. They know what time it is. They know what time it is. I mean, you know.
So that's why you love to see that safety start to come up.
Yeah, I put those numbers up.
Yeah, that safety ain't got a chance when he getting ready to come down here with him.
Well, for those that don't know, Derrick Henry through 2 weeks is leading the NFL in rushing. He's also second in terms of rushing yardage after contact.
Crazy.
Yes.
Ahead of Joe Mixon, who's third with whatever he's got.
Yeah, they were saying that, what was it? He had 182 yards, 160 yards
after contact.
Yeah. And then it was like, yeah, and then Dalvin Cook had
somebody else like 120 or something. Somebody else on the tail end.
Raj, if I can ask real quick, Brent, if y'all don't mind, Don.
Hit it.
Coming from L.A. to Nashville, what were your expectations as far as getting in this locker room, playing for a coach that played? I know you played for the Young Guru, but what was it like setting this culture for what it is now?
Well, you know, it was kind of weird at first because I was just like, you know, this guy's playing, you know, Vrabel's playing at Kansas City,
yeah.
You know, and his retirement year was my rookie year. So, you know, if you would have told me that I was over there in the game and my coach was going to be across on the other sideline, yeah. I would have called you crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, first of all, that was nuts. But second, I knew what type of culture that they were. You know, and the thing that I loved is that they has, you know, kind of the same game plan along the same lines as some of the things that I went through in L.A. And the great thing is that I know Coach Vrabel and everybody's super open-minded.
Right.
So going somewhere where you can actually give them information that they can use and they'll actually listen to is a great feeling.
That was my that's the reason I asked that question, because you went from a winner to a winner. And me being in one place, I'm like, well, was there anxiety going to a new location? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I was with this team for almost a decade.
Yeah.
And having to up and move out of nowhere. I mean, new challenges can be scary. But then, you know, the first year that we go over, we figure things out. We get to an AFC championship game. We're a playoff team the next year. And we got an explosive offense. We're rushing yards is just going crazy. And now we just want to do it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is how it has to be, because I don't have many more chances left to go get that ring.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. I just had to ask that, going from one locker room to the next. This is 3HL, baby. I'm here.
I love it. Ramon Foster sitting in. Roger Saffold sitting in. We got two OGs on the show right now. And, you know, when the deal was made and you were coming to Tennessee, I remember Coach Mack saying, we drafted Roger. Like, I know everything about him. He's nasty on the field. And so we remember in the show, we watched tape on you just pancaking people in the run game. You look like you really love to do that part of your job, to just get out in front of runs and plow
people. Do you remember? I legit watched like 2 hours worth of like YouTube highlights of you when they signed you.
Yeah.
That was so exciting.
See who this is.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is, oh yeah.
I love doing that. But I mean, I think that, you know, as an offensive lineman, you got to take your pride in some of the small things. Cause like Ramon was talking about, all of our stats are negative. You know what I mean?
Anything being highlighted.
So, you know, anything. So I think that, you know, taking a man's will and putting him on his back against his will, and he's trying as hard as he possibly can. You know, that's a big accomplishment for a big man.
Yeah, buddy.
I love it. Roger Saffold with us. Ron Slay's got this thing he does, Raj. Doesn't do it for everybody.
Yeah, everybody don't get
boom,
to go in.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, see? Hey.
Word is free. Word is free.
He know it come from life, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see?
Yes.
You know what I mean? You got to know the culture, man. So, all right, this is what we got, man, Roger, man. We're going in the boom, boom room. You got to keep your arms and legs inside the ride. Anything you say can, will be used against you. So you got to speak your truth. Say it to the best of your ability, and that's the only way the door will be unlocked. Do you agree to these terms?
I agree. Let's go.
Honk, lock the door.
Ah, yes. One man on his way in to the boom, boom, room.
All right, baby. We got Saffold in the boom, boom, room. Here it is, good and uncut. Similarities, real quick, between Derrick Henry and Steven Jackson.
Ooh. Both powerful backs, got great speed. I mean, just super aggressive, super aggressive. I mean, I think Steven Jackson was great with yards after contact as well, and so is Derrick. The thing about Derrick is Derrick has that speed to just get away, you know, which you don't see too often coming from a running back sometimes.
Yeah.
But his breakaway speed is crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Steven Jackson, he has so many varieties when he was running. I mean, the double spin that he did in Seattle was like one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And he's just so vicious. Both extremely big backs, and both can run and take a lick.
Yeah, I think he gets forgotten about a lot. But, yeah, I'm glad you touched on that. Old
that
school
man a gold jacket.
Yeah, he got that. Hello. I ain't saying. Y'all heard him.
Hey.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. Old school whip or new school?
Man, new school, man.
Okay.
I got to go new school.
Okay, put your finger on one for me.
That That Cullinan, boy.
Hello. Talk that big money talk in the Boom Boom Room. Now.
Wait, okay. The what?
Rolls Royce
truck.
Am I the only one that had no idea what that was?
See, no, Raj come out here bringing that Brentwood talk. That's humble industry. It's humble industry.
I never got a chance to have an old school, so I feel like I would be fronting if I said old school.
That's real. So you got to be honest in the Boom Boom Room. That's what it's about. All right. 2K, and listen, in the Boom Boom Room, no cliche answers. So, 2K Russell doesn't come along that often. How do you feel looking back on the season from your perspective at the O-line, and more so you, as far as the preparation that it took to go into that season? Now that you got to sit back and look at it like, that's 2000. That's a little bit different. Because when you go in the work record books, you go in the record books with them.
Right. I mean, I was extremely excited, happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, all right. We're dominant in the run game, and you love it. The one thing that was different for me, though, I was like, man, we could have got the record.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many games that we saved Derek because we wanted to keep him fresh. And, I mean, especially like a game like Jacksonville.
Yeah.
There was a couple chances for him to get another big run. We rested him in Houston for a little bit. You know, I mean, we were trying to be smart about everything.
Yeah.
But to be honest, if could go get that record. Let's get it.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're still thinking about that.
That's honest.
It's still on my mind. Yeah, it's still on my mind. Well, it's an extra game. It's just more opportunity.
I mean, guess who's leading
16.
Yeah. Guess who's leading the NFL in rushing?
Hello.
I mean.
Right back on schedule.
Yeah. Get right back on schedule.
Find that process again, though. That's what it is. It's all about that process, man.
As a unit, man. All right, the next question. L.A. Texas or Tennessee, Texas? Which one you prefer?
Oh, man, Tennessee, Texas all the way. Thank you so much, Tennessee. Oh, my goodness.
Another question for a lot of people that may not know. You still locked in the gaming world?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, what brought that love about?
Man, it's so crazy. So when I was a kid, my older sisters had that Nintendo. Yep. So I started off playing Mario Brothers, fell in love with it. You know, when you're one of five and the only boy, you tend to play video games a little bit more than just hanging out with all the girls.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, and then once I found out that you could start streaming your gameplay, I started doing that with my friends. They were like, hey, you should have your own team. It was very inexpensive to do it back then. Very inexpensive. All I had to do was just get the paperwork together, and we were in world championships for Call of Duty our first year.
What?
The rise.
Man.
The rise.
So now we've had employees from all different type of countries, Vietnam, Brazil, man, London. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, and it's picked up so much. And we've had about six or seven different games. We've had national champions. We've had world champions. And next thing is franchising, man.
So gaming is like music. It's universal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's universal. And what's crazy about gaming is that it's like, when you get a franchise, you can get franchises in different leagues. So now it's like, let's say Kroenke didn't just own L.A., but he also owned, you know, another baseball team, another hockey team. You know what I'm saying? All those teams. So that's what we're like now.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to get into every league.
Roger Saffo has arrived the Boom Boom Room. You are out of the Boom Boom Room, Saffo. I appreciate it, my brother. I like the ghost form. Yeah, get hot now. Get good and warm now. You don't know what's coming at you. Appreciate it, man. Brought to you by Low T Center.
All right, when we come back, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Titans-Colts game, and then we're going to give away another pair of tickets to the Titans-Colts game. One of those pairs is in the club level.
One.
No, we've got two.
We got two of them, Rich.
Every Tuesday, Rich, we've got two.
two for two.
Our PR guy's like, hold up.
Yeah, wait a minute. All right, we'll be right back. We've got two offensive linemen, a basketball player, and me and Babs. We'll be right back. Speaking of L.A., 3-0-104-5 The Zone, Brent Doherty, Todd Davenport, Ron Slay, Ramon Foster, Roger Saffo. We got everybody up in here.
Deep. Kine ain't got no roof.
Hey, Roger.
Kine ain't got no roof.
Thank you so much for coming out here, man. We really appreciate everything.
Absolutely. A lot of fun.
We've got a pair of tickets to sit in the club level for Titans Colts from our guy Kelly with Buffalo Wild Wings.
Kelly, throw your hand in there.
There's Kelly. So when you win the tickets, that's your guy right there. All right. Again, we'll do these every Tuesday, so make sure you come by and see us. We'll be in Gallatin next Tuesday, and we'll have another player. You've got a winner, Ron Slay,
winner.
For the pair of tickets in the club level for Titans v. Colts.
Got me a winner, man.
Say my name.
Yeah. Did you put your name in the box?
Say my name.
Did you put your name in the box?
Ron, look, I'm not sitting in the regular stand.
That's what I be trying to tell Babs. They won't never let me call in or put my names in boxes.
That helps, doesn't it?
You know what
really
I mean? Man, listen, man. This ticket going to Jonathan Hansen. Jonathan Hansen, where you at?
Is Jonathan Hansen in the room? Yeah,
Jonathan Hansen, if you're not even here, I'm going to take him.
No.
That would have been me. That's me. That would have been me.
All right. We will call Jonathan Hansen.
That looked like Jonathan Hansen.
Earlier.
There you go.
Jonathan Hansen here?
No.
Looked him dead in his eyes.
All right. You're going to be Jonathan Hansen.
All right. You got one more question for Saffold over here?
Yeah. Let me ask Saffold one more question. So you play with a guy like Andre Whitworth, who you saw go and revamp his game, leaving Cincy, coming to L.A. He really extended his career, been in the league for a long, 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 long time.
That's a lot of long.
Yeah, he's been in there that long.
If I can interject,
especially lineman years.
Since he was the death of him.
Thought that was it.
He came to L.A. and that son just hit his skin different or something. he went to Pro Bowl, All-Pro, everything, man. Yeah. It's crazy.
So when you see a guy like that, what pieces of his game do you take to prolong your career if you wanted to do that?
Oh, I mean, honestly, it all comes down to how you take care of your body.
Right.
And he understands exactly how to, like, prepare. You know, he's not the guy that's just killing all the weights in the weight room.
Yeah.
He's, like, in Colorado, like, hiking, biking, running, and doing off-balance strength work.
Yeah.
And a lot of corrective exercises to get his body feeling as fresh as humanly possible. I don't know if people know this, but you train up there in that altitude for long
different.
Enough. You're going to really feel the effects when he came back. I remember he came back from Colorado, and we had the conditioning test. Now, granted, I'm about 6 years younger than him.
Yeah.
About 6 years younger than him. And he was keeping up with me every step of the way, man. I started to get angry. I'm like, you know what I mean? And our conditioning test, you know, people would say, oh, it's not that bad. And it wasn't as bad for us, but, like, we were running them things. We were running suicides. I remember just him being right there with me the whole way and us running sprints and him being, like, right next to me. I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Going on? And then after that, you know, we didn't have to do that no more. We just got on the first climber. And I'm right there with him. But, you know, Whitworth is also a great guy who has a tremendous attitude. Daily attitude changes everything for him.
That's real.
And, you know, he puts everything out there. And I know that I've asked him a ton. I used to be like, Big Wit, listen to me, man.
Yeah.
I woke up for the game today and both my knees hurt. He said, here, welcome to your 30s.
Hey, Big Wit coming up this weekend. Good luck. Good luck, Roger, with everything against the Colts.
Man.
And we appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there he is, Roger Saffold. Yeah, you can clap. You can clap.
Y'all give it up for Saffold. Sometimes you got to tell people sometimes. They just wait for it.
Something about your voice.
Hey, Coach Mack and Rhett Bryant coming up next. Mack Talk on 104.5 The Zone. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Coach Mack will join us tomorrow, as will Austin Huff. And Todd Furman will have your winners.
I'm going to write my bets down.
All right. Back at it again tomorrow. Listen to The Zone all damn day. We'll be back at it. Thank you. Appreciate you.
We go.
Good night. God bless all of those things. We're out.